afternoon, everyone. So good to be back. I missed you. Did you miss me? I was working last Sunday, and I'll be working again next Sunday and the Sunday following as well. So not many chances to be with you these 4 weeks. Please open your books to the books, excuse me, your Bibles to the book of Genesis, still in classroom mode. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. We'll have some time in the Word, and then we'll have some communion as well. I'm sorry? Actually, I do. I say open your Bible in my school, in my class, because they know. They better bring their Bible now. Okay, Genesis 12. We're going to just read verses 1 through 7. Let's read it together. The Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country. Oh, come on, I'm sorry. I'm in the wrong version. Excuse me. Once more. The Lord had said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Verse 5. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Verse 6. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. The very words of God. Amen. Well, our subject today, very briefly, is Abram's call and seed, which becomes our call, our destiny, and our Lord. Abram's call and his seed becomes our destiny and our Lord, excuse me. So two things basically I want us to consider as we go through this classic text. That is his calling, God's call on Abram, and then also the seed of Abram, which directly relates to us. First of all, the call of God on Abram's life. We are in chapter 12, verse 1, but the story actually began a chapter ago in chapter 11, and if you've been reading your Bible like Roland has, you'll notice in chapter 11 is a long list of names. It's just names. The father of who, and who lived how long, things like that. And it's very easy to think, why is this long list of names here? And then before that, you see a story about the Tower of Babel and the whole origin of languages, lands, and people, nations. And then in chapter 12, God seems to zoom in on this one man who is a descendant of Peleg. So I just want to I want to give you a little background into what's the connection with chapter 10 in the story of Babel and chapter 11 with all the names. Hopefully I got that right. Excuse me, chapter 11, the Tower of Babel. And then the genealogies, the list of names in chapter 11. Excuse me. Because it really gives a lot of light into what we read today. In the story of Babel in chapter 11, you notice that the people of the earth are doing exactly the opposite of what God had commanded. God said, spread out. He said, go and fill the earth. Be fruitful, multiply, and produce. And what the people are doing are they're clustering. They're not spreading. They're getting together. And when they're clustering, they're disobeying God. And they're trying to find strength in themselves. It's a lot of risk to go out into God's world to do what God had said. And they're saying, no, we're happy just to be here together, building our walls. And in fact, let's not just be together and find security in ourselves. Let's make ourselves famous and find honor not in God, but in ourselves. And so they start building this tower to heaven. And God says, okay. And so he comes down to the tower, because you can't build a tower high enough for God to see eye to eye. He's going to come down anyway. And he confuses their languages and confuses their communication. And so we have Babel. And that's another translation for Babylon, the land where God calls Abram from. And so Abram is from this place where it's just this confusion, where people thought they can worship themselves and make themselves great and build a name for themselves. And then God focuses in on the son of Terah, a man named Abram. And he says, you know what? In the place where people thought they could make a name for themselves, and in the place where they thought they would be great and greater than me, I'm going to take you out of here, and I'm going to make a name for you. And I'm going to make your name great. Because it's not man who makes his name great. It's not we who do for ourselves and pull up ourselves by our own bootstraps and find our own path and blaze our own trail and do what we want to do. And so God is showing us, it's a very black and white contrast. The author of chapter 11 and chapter 12, he's saying, take a look at what the people did on their own versus what Abraham did in obedience to God. Take a look what these people thought they could do in their own wisdom and strength and in their own pride. And take a look what Abraham does in humility and in obedience and what God does with him. And so that's where we're at in chapter 12 in Genesis, in the book of Genesis. I thought that was a very important thing in our context to consider when we look at Abram's call. It's not just right there at the beginning of chapter 12, but there's a context to it. And then we have in chapter 12, God taking Abram. Abram is now in the country of the Chaldees called Ur. Actually, before that, he was in Ur. We know in Acts chapter 7, Stephen is preaching, and we see that God called Abram when he was in another city called Ur. It's Ur of the Chaldees, basically Iraq and Babylon. And here's what Stephen said, which is really interesting. He said, Abram saw the glory of God. He saw the glory of God, and that's what made him pick up and go. Now, while Abram saw the glory of God, he was still under the authority of his father, Terah. And so, Abram, and he talks to his dad, this is what I would think, he talks to his dad, he says, I saw God's call on my life, and he wants us to go from this city in Ur to a place called Canaan. But we can't go direct there, there's a desert. So we can't go directly west. Let's go north to Haran and then find our way down. And so what we think is that Terah said, yeah, let's do it. And so they went from Ur up the Euphrates River to the place called Haran. And Ur was a place where they worshipped many gods, the most powerful god being the moon god. And that's actually where Sarah gets her name. It comes from one of the princesses of the moon god, Sarah. It means my princess, Sarai. But it was because they were all worshippers of the moon. And Ur was that central place where they worshipped the power of the moon, or they thought that the moon had power. And they go from Ur to Haran, the next biggest city where they worship the moon. And Terah, the father, decides, this is good enough. Why don't we just settle here, Abram? And because Abram was under the authority of his father, they stop in Haran, and then Terah dies there, probably a pagan. And so here we are, again, Abram in the midst of a pagan land, in the midst of people who think Yahweh, Abram's God, is just another God amongst the many. God is saying, I'm not one of those guys. I'm the God. I'm the one who made the sun and the moon. And I want you to keep going. Your father may have stopped here, but I want you to go. Leave your father's house. Take everything you have with you, and let's go. And that was Abram's call. I think that relates directly to many of us who have come from places where people don't worship the God of the Bible. We're in a land with many gods, and people still worship the moon. And people may think that us deciding to follow the God of the Bible seems a bit biblical. Seems a bit out of place. And if that's the case, we are following in the footsteps of Abram. And how could you do that? How can you leave your family name? And how could you sacrifice the security of your nationality, your culture, your language, and do something that's completely outside of everything that's brought you up? You're doing something that Abram has done. So you're not alone. But there's an even greater source there. God calls him, and God says, I'm going to promise I'm to bless you. And not only that, I'm going to bless the world through you. And how am I going to do that? I'm going to bless the world through your seed. And we're going to skip all the way down to verse 7. I know I've just skipped a lot, but we're pressed. And so the Lord appeared to Abram. This is when Abram had now gone to Canaan. He's at the tree in Shechem. Verse 7, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. Now, if you have your own Bible, if you brought your own app, highlight, circle, underline, whatever you want to do, to the word offspring. Offspring in our Bible is the word descendant, or also seed. That's a very, very important word, because you can draw a line from that word to what I preached on a few weeks ago in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where God told Adam and Eve that the seed of the seed of Eve would defeat Satan and crush his head. That seed is now going through the line from Abram to Noah to Shem to Terah and now to Abram. And now Abram's seed. Now Abram picks up that line of blessing, that line of salvation, that line of redemption, right there in verse 7. So you can draw a line from chapter 3, verse 15 to chapter 12, verse 7. And I just want you to know this because God knows what he's doing when he's writing this book. This happens in a couple thousand years, and God still knows exactly what he's doing. And so he takes Abram, he says, I'm going to take your seed, and through your seed, I'm going to bless the world. How am I going to bless the world? I'm going to save the world through your seed. Okay, let's go to Galatians chapter 3. I have it up there for you. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. And that's the word offspring. The scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but to your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ. Jesus is saying, Abram's story is not just about faith and believing and blessing. It's about me. You go to Abraham, you read a story, and you end up with me, Jesus Christ, the seed. Now, here's the coolest thing. This is something I just realized in studying this for this week today. Verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seeds, じゃなくて, seed, singular. Then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. God looks at all of us in our different languages, our different accents, our different passports. He doesn't see seeds. He sees Jesus. He sees Jesus if we are in Christ. We are the seed of Abraham. We are that blessing. Now, how is it that that worked out? Just some things that really made me uncomfortable when I was studying this. If God were to come to me right now and tell me to do something or go somewhere the way he talked to Abraham, what would I say? Chris, leave everything you have and go. How would I respond to God? I think the two biggest things that we face in this country as people of God, as Christians, modern Christians, the biggest questions I think that we struggle with, I think, more than most than those in other countries and other cultures is, one, the marriage, who we will marry, who we will not marry, whether we'll marry a Christian or a non-Christian. And I'm not going to go over that right now. Okay. I think that's one of the biggest things, biggest issues of faith for any believer in this country is the marriage issue. And the second is the money issue, money and marriage. Because we are not poor, we are not poor, and we are not in poverty. We are the opposite. We are the number two economy in the world. We have money. We're rich. And so one of the biggest issues of faith for us is what we do with our wealth, what we do with our money. And what would I say if God gave me a call like Abram and said, give up everything you have, like Jesus told the rich man in Mark chapter 10? Do you remember that? I have it. Mark chapter 10. Mark 10. Jesus looked at him. This is Jesus looking at a rich man. That's us. And loved him. Loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. The rich man couldn't do it. He couldn't take the call of Jesus Christ to follow him. What would I do? That made me uncomfortable. That really did. And I had to really be honest with God. So what would I say to God if he called me like Abraham? What would I answer him if he came to me about my money? And then also another question that made me uncomfortable was, like, how did Abraham know it was God's voice? There's hundreds of gods, hundreds of deities. And if God were to call me, how would I know it was him? How do I know it's not another God? How would I do that? Well, if you're uncomfortable with it, I think I've done my job. I got a couple answers for you. How could Abraham follow God with such a difficult call? And how could we follow Jesus Christ when he calls us? Well, look where Abraham did. He left his father's country. He left home. He left culture. He left wonderful food and riches and status to the place God called him. Look what Jesus did for you and for me. Jesus is the greater Abraham. He left his father's side. He left the glory he had in heaven. And he said, I'll go to save you and me. He gave it all up. And Jesus says to the rich man, give up everything you have. Why could he say that to us who are wealthy and have money? Because he who was rich became poor for our sake, that we would become the riches of God. And so how can I do that? I look to the cross. I look to Jesus in Christ alone. And I put all my hope and my worship and everything into him. And I don't look to Abram and I don't think, oh, I need to have Abram's faith. I don't. I need Jesus' blood. And in Jesus' blood, I have his power, his spirit within me to obey God. And so how do I know if it's Jesus or not some other voice? Ah, I love this. John chapter 10. I am the good shepherd. My sheep know me. I know them. More than me having to know God, God knows me. Psalm 139. Lord, you know me. You know me more than I know myself. And if God knows me more than I know myself, he knows how to get my attention. He knows what voice I'm going to listen to. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you that I have that assurance that you are the good shepherd. If you have a doubt, if you don't know where God is calling you, it may be God is calling you to go, leave your family's name, leave your family's religion, and follow him. You know what? It may be God calling you to stay. Stay with your family. Stay and love your family. Love your office. Love your friends. Be in your community. Love them. What did Paul tell Timothy? Stay in Ephesus. And so the faith of Abraham is not just to go, but it's to have the faithfulness of Abraham to obey the word of God. Like Timothy did, like Abraham did. And so I'm not saying, you know, God is going to call you to whatever, you know, and point my finger wherever. God could be calling you, but it's to be faithful. And it's not the faith that you have in yourself. It's in Jesus Christ. We are the seed of Abraham through Christ Jesus. So that's how he blesses us, and that's how he is our Lord.